And Sarelli put all that together. What a blessing. Amen. And they've decided to name the church in Wanaco Living Hope, Esperanza Viva. And as they said, the community where the new school is called Hope, Esperanza. Coincidences? I don't think so. Amen. Bless the Lord. Well, what a summer outreach as we've had in various places, from the meeting the needs of others, Metro Camp, Croatia, Israel, Peru, Mascalero, Israel again. And it's wonderful when we can be used of the Lord and our hands and feet can be the hands and feet of Jesus going out and touching the needs of others. I want to tell a story that most of you have heard before, but it's just something I want to explain a little bit more. One night, back in the 70s, before you were born, I couldn't sleep, and I finally decided the Lord was saying to get up. And so I went to my study. We lived on Highway 155, and I just went to my study. Charlotte was still asleep, and I took my record player. For some of you that don't know, that it's a big CD that you put on there, and you put this, that it was Andre Crouch, "To God Be the Glory," and I would play it, and I'd weep, and then I'd move the needle. You know, there was no technology. Just move the needle back and play it again, probably about 10 times. I said, "Lord, what are you saying?" And he said, "I'm going to send you to places beyond that you'd never dream of. And so I'm going to, if you'll just give me the glory, I'll do this." And I accepted that as a word from the Lord. And in my thoughts, it was that now we would go from Tyler to Kilgore to Longview to Athens to Palestine to Chandler White House, that we would move out in those directions. And we did. During those times, well, the hippies were everywhere. And we found a real evangelistic tool was to get a Brookshire's parking lot. Let them let us plug in somewhere, set up some loudspeakers and have some music and some testimonies and reach out. And we did that in all these cities. But, of course, the Lord was showing us later that he was looking beyond that. And so I've always looked at that as if you'll give God credit, he'll bless you. But this morning I want to elaborate on that a little bit. And there is a scripture that would seem to say that's what giving God the glory is, and it would be in Luke 17:17. We had on the songs today a song about the lepers, and this was the lepers, and there were 10 that got healed of their leprosy, but only one came back, and they said, "Where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And so in that connotation, it would seem like that they all got healed, but only 9 gave God the credit for it. Only one gave God the credit for it. And so that would be there. But I have a word that's in my spirit today, and I feel like that I'll just share with you that this is not a one Sunday message. It's something that is there, and it's going to keep building in my spirit. And it's been said that when a preacher preaches, he points one finger at the audience and 3 back to himself. And so I'm trying to receive this message as well in my spirit this morning to grow and grow in my life, because I really feel like that it's more than just giving God credit and not giving yourself glory, that it is what I want to talk to you about this morning, ministering to the Lord, a ministry to the Lord. It's our first priority is a ministry to the Lord. And I just really hope that as a congregation, this is a pastoral sermon today, that as a congregation that we will grab hold of this. It's been heavy in my spirit for several weeks. Back before we ever left, well, I looked at this Sunday and I said, I want to develop a message on ministry to the Lord. And Psalm 115, verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth." That this whole word about glory, it's so easy to say glory, 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 glory. Back in the years former, well, it was told if people want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, they just need to say glory. Well, You know, a praise to the Lord is a good initiation into be ready and preparing yourself for a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's really beyond just the word glory. It's so easy. And even in the Hispanic culture, they do this thing that says, who gets the glory? And they say, Cristo. Or what do you say? And they say, Gloria. And it can be just learned behavior. And I want to caution you this morning not to get involved in a tradition that's just learned behavior. That just, you know, everything is amen, praise God. My dad read this story one time about a guy that said, you know, I just want to thank God today, you know, praise God. You know, I heard my mother-in-law was coming, praise God, and she had a wreck on the way and killed her, praise God. I mean, you know, and they don't even realize what they're saying. But we need to learn to honor God, to love Him, to give glory to Him. It is a ministry to the Lord. Isaiah 42, verse 12 tells us, it says, let them give glory to the Lord and declare His praise in the coastlands. Here's the whole thing. Before we ever go and try to do anything to meet the needs of others, we've got to go to the throne first. We've got to go to the Lord first. We've got to minister to Him. It's our greatest ministry is ministry to the Lord. It's so easy to go on these trips and come back, and I thank God for what He did, and He was with us in a mighty way. But just to get involved in activity is not what we're talking about. We're talking about personally honoring God and giving Him glory. Isaiah 61 and verse 3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion. Now that's what Tom is involved in. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And so we are planted into a new relationship, into being born again into the kingdom of God. For what reason? That He might be glorified. Not self, not our own idols, but that He might be glorified, that we are to be worshipers. We are to be those that honor God, to honor Jesus Christ as our King and our Bridegroom, that we are able to reach in and honor Him with our very time and our very lives, that we minister to God by declaring His worth. That's what worship is. It's declaring His work. It's not just singing songs. We could have concerts every Sunday, but that would not give honor to God unless if it was just singing songs. It's not singing songs about Him, but it's really singing songs to Him. And yet you can sing those words to Him, you can say the words and not be ministering to the Lord. In the songbooks that I grew up in, there was a song called, Oh, I Want to See Him. A great song, I mean, about the coming of the Lord, about dying and going to heaven. And the words were, Oh, I want to see Him, to look upon His face, to there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. But I personally heard people that had sung that so many times that they would get to that last line and they would sing it like this, not even realizing what they were saying. Cares all past, home at last, never to rejoice. And they had sung it so many times they didn't even know that they were making a mistake in saying never to rejoice. So we can learn the words. We can get involved in singing the words, singing the songs, and even if it's good words, and yet never really touching God because we're not even thinking about what we're singing. I know it's very difficult at times to lay everything aside when you come into a morning service or a Wednesday night service, and especially difficult is if you're involved in some form of administration and that what needs to get done is in your mind rather than what you're doing. But I never want to sing never to rejoice. I want to be able to know what I'm saying to the Lord, what I'm saying to the Lord, that it's from my heart, not from some memorized text that is in my head, but I want to reach out to Him. You know, so many of the songs that we've come about in the last few years, they've been by anointed people. I know I was with Dallas Home, came by the office the other day, and I heard him say, some days you just write a song, but other times said, you know. He said, like the song Rise Again, said it was from a time in my life and so on. And there's times that people have written these. It's been a personal experience, a time of devotion with them. And I looked this up, and this is what actually happened. Matt Redman in 1999 went to his bedroom, and what he thought was just a devotion between he and the Lord, it became this. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. And he never knew that was going to, what they call today, go viral and be a worldwide song. But it was something from his heart that I'm sorry for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, Jesus. I hope this morning that the Holy Spirit will move among us and we'll have to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things I've made it. But it's all about you, Jesus. He says, when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply can't longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you've required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. The story was that they actually, and we don't have to do that, but they actually said, let's get rid of all the instruments for a period of time. And let's just worship the Lord. And this song came to him during that time that it's not about the music. It's when the music is all stripped away, he says, and I'm just longing for something that's of worth. Do we come longing to get into the presence of God? Or is it just another Sunday that we feel obligated to come to church? Now, it's a good obligation. It's a good discipline. But do we have that longing in our heart? Even prayer, it can start with duty, and it can turn into delight. That we delight to worship Him. We delight to come into the presence of the Lord. The second verse says, King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. And so if every single breath is from the Lord, shouldn't we use our breath to praise Him? I know that worship can be done without words, but I get worried when people are asleep during worship or the message. Are they there and everybody else is in a worship experience and they're just looking around, looking at their watch and going to the bathroom? You know, it's a time to enter into His presence. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. As we worship God for who He is, we should be fascinated by who He is. It's a growing thing. A person that comes to the Lord, maybe at first it's just, I'm so glad that He saved me, and that's it. He was a good Savior. But as we focus on who God is, and that He is worthy of all of our worship and praise, that then it's more than a Savior. It's a Lord. It's a God. It's Savior. It's King. It's the Lord. He is worthy of all of our praise, that we are able to be fascinated by who He is. I can't do it this morning. I wouldn't if I could. But there was one brother that was trying to explain it in a message, and he's omnipotent. He's this. He's almighty. He's this, you know. And he goes on and on for about 10 minutes. He says, I can't explain it. And that's basically the way it is when you're fascinated by who God is, that we enter into this fascination of power of God. And there's no mockery involved when you see the true God. You would never want to do anything that displeases the Lord, the God of heaven, the Lord of hosts. We should discover His majestic beauty as God our Father and Jesus our Bridegroom and our King. And our judge, our worship, as we would express our hearts to the Lord, should be a witness of how He is ministered to in heaven. He ascended into heaven as the resurrected God. He ascended into heaven and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And His ministry there is intercession. But there's an angelic host and witnesses that have gone before us that 24, well, there's no hours up there. 24/7, I start to say, is worshiping and honoring God. So let's look at heaven. And heaven is what's going on in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne. So here's Jesus in heaven. He's on the throne. And I ask you, are you on the throne or is He on the throne in your life? He's on the throne and these living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And then some, and ever, and ever, and ever. For the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. This is worship in heaven. This is how that Jesus is worshiped in heaven. From those angelic, those elders that are there, this was John the Revelator seeing into the future and seeing as he was there. Now, when John was inspired to write this, he knew that Jesus ascended into heaven. He was one of those three that were very special, Peter, James, and John, to be with Jesus as he continued his earthly ministry and even went to the Mount of Transfiguration where appeared to him Moses and Elijah. And Peter, bless his heart, said, let's build a tabernacle here. Let's build three of them, one for you and Moses and Elijah. And immediately the word came from heaven, this is my beloved Son. He's not one of the three in whom I'm well pleased. And so we recognize that as John wrote this, he had some understanding that he was there and he was seeing him again in heaven. Revelation chapter 14 and verses 6 through 7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. And so we're interested in every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. But he said in a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him. So that's a command that the glory goes to the Lord. Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him. We're commanded to worship, to count Him worthy, to worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. So the Creator God, Jesus in heaven, to worship Him who made heaven and earth, the seas and the springs of water. Another form of ministering to the Lord is in intercession. And we've been growing in this area. On Wednesday nights, we have this time. And out at Calvary Commission, we have a staff prayer meeting. And intercession is there. But as we do this, we grow in our intimacy with God because we personally encounter Him through the indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives. And we recognize that we are ministering to Him as we take on His burdens. And we tell every Wednesday night, Lord, let us be burdened with what burdens You. Whatever breaks Your heart, let it break our hearts. And so we're combining ourselves with the Lord and not just saying, Lord, fix my car, please. Give me a new one, please. But we are entering in to what burdens Him. And here on earth, we are binding those things on earth that can be bound in heaven that can be bound on earth. And we're locking in spiritual warfare. And this also is a form of ministry to the Lord as we enter into intercession with Him, that we recognize that as the Holy Spirit is in us and the Holy Spirit wants to reach out and glorify God in heaven, that we are able to minister to the Lord through intercession. Another way is through the gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." And this great gift that the Lord has available for all of us, this speaking in tongues, it says here that it's to speak to the Lord. And so it's a ministry to the Lord. As we are praying in the Spirit, we're ministering to the Lord in what we don't know that we're saying. Like the man said, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. He said, I can't explain it. But by the Holy Spirit, we can lift our voices in tongues to the Lord. Now, if it's false and it's self, it would be an abomination to the Lord. But if it's from the heart, a heart filled with praise and adoration to Him, and that language that He's given us to praise Him, to honor Him, to worship Him, it says we speak to the Lord. It's not to men, but it's to God. And so we have this way of ministering to the Lord first. As we continue to minister to the Lord, we grow in revelation of His Word, and we gain insight into His will. And so as we take the Word of God and put it in our hearts, we're ministering to the Lord. It ministers back to us, but we're ministering to the Lord because it's what He has left us, what He has given us, the powerful Word of God. And we have, through the Word, His ways, salvation, His plans. We receive grace to love and to obey Him. And so as we walk in obedience, it's a form of ministering to the Lord as well. Our lifestyle of worship is what we can give to the Lord. And so it's not just a Sunday morning experience, but it is a life experience, a lifestyle experience of ministry to the Lord as we are able to seek Him first. And He desires our ministry to Him. Ministry means serving, and so we serve the Lord in this way as we reach out and we minister to the Lord, and we're able to honor Him in this way of ministry to Him. We must first minister to Him. God wants His people to minister to Him. That's our first priority, is ministry to the Lord. Matthew 6:33, familiar scripture, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Before we attempt anything for God, we must go to Him first. We must minister to Him first. In 1978, I was traveling, and up sort of north, I don't remember, Kansas City, I believe, somewhere, St. Louis, and I saw a green sign that said Chicago, and the Holy Spirit put in my heart this question: what would these ex-inmates, what would these parolees do to the streets of Chicago? And it put in my heart that we're going to take a group to Chicago. So I began to share it and began to pray and move in that direction. And we ended up in a ghetto in Chicago. And we had just, God had put it all together. Even the man that I worked with there, I had met before about 3 years before in New York City. And he had been called from Teen Challenge to go and start a church in the ghetto area of Chicago. And so we went in and we began to pray. And we would have an hour of prayer each morning. Now, I just have to tell you that you have to have a commitment to pray for an hour. In fact, you probably need to pray in the Spirit or pray the Word or have worship or whatever, because, you know, you say, well, I just said everything, now I got to say it again. Well, we had prayed till we were tired, and we were ready to go to the streets. And this pastor, who later became a missionary to Iraq, he said, wait a minute, I think the Lord wants us to pray another hour. You know. So we did. And we had been working on the streets and nothing was happening. But that day, when we went out, people opened up their hearts and began to listen to us. No longer did they throw the tracts on the ground. Why? Because we had ministered to the Lord first. Because we had gone there and we had ministered to the Lord first. And later on, we were staying, and they gave us some apartments free for a few days, and no furniture, just empty apartments. The squirrels were on the windowsills, you know, and have some Chicago people here, I think. And we slept on the floor and made our own food, and we had about 6 blocks from there to the church, where the building we had rented. And we left one day to go down there. And I said, let's sing as we go. And so as we began to sing, and finally, you know, guitar player was out front, it was a brand new sound to the gunshots, to the sirens of the ghetto. And as we sang, just singing, you know, no loudspeakers or anything, just singing as we went down the street, just on the sidewalk, we began to see people look out their window. What is this? I mean, it sure wasn't as loud as the other, but it was a new sound. And we said, God has given us something. So before service every night, we would go all the way up the street, sidewalks and back. If we got to a Hispanic area, we'd sing in Spanish. And then people would begin to follow us back to the church. One time we were doing that, and I'll never forget this. There was a lady that was standing looking out in a distance like this, across the street from where we were. And as we came and she heard that sound, she turned around, and when she heard those words, she began to weep immediately. Found out later that, you know, she had got drunk one night and ended up in Kentucky, and then got drunk one night, ended up in Chicago, didn't know how she got there, a backslider. But when she heard that ministry to the Lord, and so I want to proclaim to you that true worship will bring in the presence of the Lord. And with the presence of the Lord will come conviction. As we grow as a congregation in worship, in true worship, then I believe that, I don't remember who it was, one of our leaders said that a lady came in and one time and she went running out, and they said, can I help you? Those people are crazy. Well, we heard a song last Sunday about that, and then it said they think I'm crazy. Soy loco, soy loco, soy loco, soy. You know, I am crazy, I am crazy. But I truly believe that as we enter into to true worship, the presence of God, the cloud will descend upon this congregation. To where that a person coming in, they cannot keep their sinful ways. Immediately somebody said, we can't live together anymore, not be married. We can't commit fornication and praise God at the same time. That you know, we can't do that because of the Spirit of God, the holiness of God, that there will be a conviction that will be there. So I ask you, when you come through the doors on a Sunday, are you bringing your offering to God? Now, we appreciate the tithes and offerings, but I'm talking about, are you bringing a heart that's ready to worship the Lord? Jude, chapter 20, chapter, no, there's no chapters in Jude. Verse 12. There are spots in your love feasts while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Look in your own love feast with the Lord. Are there spots there? Our worship team must minister to the Lord first. They must minister to the Lord and not just to us. They must minister to the Lord before they minister to us. Our pastors and teachers and elders must minister to the Lord before ministering to us. Our outreach teams must minister to the Lord before trying to minister to the lost. It's good to have Hope on the Street and Adopt a Block and Dinner of Hope. But unless it's anointed by the Lord, it'll just be works. It'll be spots in a love feast. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, a very powerful scripture. Bill Hayes would love it. It's about the fear of God. It says, do not quench the Spirit. You realize that if there's spots in our love feast, we're quenching the Spirit. We're limiting what God can do. One more scripture. Psalms 24, verse 3. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully? He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah, which means think about it. Are we a generation of Jacob today as a church that seek him, that seek his face? He continues, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Okay, we're talking about an invitation to God Most High to come in and inhabit a sanctuary, a gathering, a dwelling place in your heart, a dwelling place. He says, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? That's who we're talking about this morning, of ministering first to him. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This morning, we have another opportunity to minister first to the Lord, and that's by obeying him when he said that as often as you meet, it's called his table. It's called his meal. It's called the Lord's Supper. And this morning, I want you to take this in a different light today, that this is a ministry to the Lord. Yes, there's healing scriptures there. There's healing promises there. There's second coming promises there until he comes again, that we would do this. But it says that when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So it's a time with him. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 27. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Would you stand with me, please? As we stand here for a moment, let's just enter in. If repentance is needed, this is the time to do it. Brother Robert shared at the beginning of the service, if you got something against someone, you need to go to him before you partake of the Lord's Supper. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord God Almighty, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. So he says he shall come in. Lord, right now we thank you, God, for the words that you've put in my heart to deliver this morning, oh God. Lord, we want to honor you this morning. We want to lift up our hands to you. Not just give you credit for what has been accomplished. Look what the Lord has done. But look at the Lord himself. And we recognize you. Jesus, you have shared this before you were betrayed and arrested. You knew what was ahead of you. And you wanted your church to do this. And through the ages of 2,000 years or so, believers have endeavored to obey you. And they've endeavored to just the keyboard, please. That they've endeavored to obey you, Lord. Do not take the Lord's Supper if you're not prepared. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you two brothers just go on down so you can partake of the Lord's Supper down there? Like for Pastor Tim to come up and Jason and Robert. We're going to ask you to come this over here, and this here will come to Tim, and you can take care of the middle, and we'll take care of this over here. Here's what we do. We ask you to hold the emblems and we'll partake together. Youth, would you come first? O rabara sora takaya dovara korabara santara katara rabara kutabara kashi. O randa da broson tara da varo korabala kan santara likia tore kashi tara da bara kutara. Jesus, our Lord. Thank you, God. Jesus, our Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. The bread. Hold the wafer up as we pray over the bread this morning as the body. Jesus is the bread of life.
Yes, Lord. Let's pray over the bread. Father, we thank you so much that, Lord, you are our bread, Father.
Precious Jesus.
Father, we thank you so much that we just want to minister to you this morning, Lord, as Pastor Joe has brought out. Lord, we just want to minister to your holy name, Father, for you are worthy, Lord. Father, you made us of the dust of the earth, and then you became the dust of the earth, Lord. And then you filled us with your life and gave us your body, your bread, Lord, to fill us and to renew us and to strengthen us, Lord. Father, we who were far away from you, yet you called us to your side, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
And brought us into one body, Lord, the body of your kingdom, Lord, of this church, Lord. And we thank you for that, that we can partake of your body this morning, of the bread that you have prepared for us, that we can receive your life, Lord. We just do so in reverence and want to bless your name and thank you and praise you for your goodness. Jesus' name.
Let us eat together. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I was thinking this morning, the first time that the Lord's Supper was ever received was when the Israelites were in Egypt about to leave. And the Lord told him to put the blood upon the door.
Thank you, Lord.
In Exodus 12, it's in verse 13, it says, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you."
Yes, amen.
"And the plague will not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations." And then, of course, we see Jesus again doing the same thing. And he was the fulfillment of that. And yet he said to continue to keep it.
That's right.
Because it's a memorial. Not only a memorial, but that continual reminder. And this, it said, this scripture there said, You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. This day shall be to you a memorial.
Thank you, Lord.
And a memorial is that which stirs us to remember what Christ has done for us.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's only because of this blood, the blood that was put upon the door of the house. Well, today we are the house. Amen. This blood upon our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that He delivers us and He gives us life. And though we were guilty of this blood, He gives us mercy. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you realize it's your sin, it's my sin that nailed Him to that cross. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son. And Jesus, thank you that you were willing. You were willing, Lord God, to go to the cross for us and shed your very blood. And Lord, we remember that day today, Lord, but even more than remembering, Lord God, may we take that this day, and Lord, may we live our life for you, unto your service, unto your name, unto your glory, unto your honor, because, Lord, you are worthy. And thank you, Lord, that it's this blood, the representation this morning, this juice represents, Lord, the very blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord God.
Yes, oh God.
And makes us, Lord, participants.
Thank you, Lord.
Participators, Lord God, recipients of the grace of God and the plan of God.
Hallelujah.
And we receive it today, Lord, with gratefulness, thankfulness unto you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let us
participate together.
Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We'd like to ask our prayer team to come forward at this time. There's people here that may need to do some more work with the Lord. The Lord work on them. And it says if two will agree touching any one thing, it shall be done. If you want to just come and kneel this morning and just kind of affirm what you've heard this morning, well, then the altars are open for you as well. So our regular prayer team, if you'd come at this time, I believe there's people who want to be prayed over. We're going to go ahead and dismiss the congregation so people up here would have plenty of time to pray and seek the Lord and have those to pray with them. So stretch your hand this way. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today, O God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Now may the Lord bless you. Take this word to heart. And minister to the Lord, and then minister to the world. God bless you.